With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am indeed your host, Rick Wolf. Well, it has happened yet again. And by now, if you follow the headlines in high school sports in this area, you are most likely well aware that yet another hazing incident has occurred, this one in Wall Township, New Jersey. This is just so incredibly hurtful and destructive in so many ways. But to me, the two biggest questions are, why does this kind of thing continue to happen? And why can't we get high school kids to stop doing this? Now, on this morning's show, I want to have an in-depth discussion with you as to why this vicious pattern of adolescent behavior continues, as it has for decades in high school sports, not just here, but all over the country. And is there truly any way of stopping and preventing hazing from happening? Now, there are all sorts of proposed explanations, theories, and so on, but sadly, none of them seem to stick or to work. And there are other ancillary questions as well. For example, if only a handful of athletes are involved in the actual hazing incident, why should the rest of the innocent kids on the team be forced to see their season canceled? Is that fair? Is it fair for the entire coaching staff to be held responsible for these abhorrent actions? And what about the role of the parents? I mean, after all, it's their kids. It's their kids who are actively involved in doing this noxious crime. Aren't the moms and dads somehow to partially blame for not doing a better job at teaching their kids about the evils of hazing? So a lot of things to discuss here. And as I said, I've been doing this show, as you know, for a number of years. And unfortunately, every few years, it seems I'm talking about hazing. Maybe today we'll find some solutions or some ideas or ways to finally, you know, basically just eradicate this terrible, terrible behavior from high school and college sports. 877-337-6666. That's, of course, our number. Look, this is clearly a most unsettling issue. And quite frankly, the sobering and scary truth is hazing can occur in just about any school district in the country. Now, the current school under fire is Wall Township High School in New Jersey and its football program. But over the years, we have talked about hazing incidents at a number of towns and programs, including not too long ago over in Sayreville High School in New Jersey, Mepham High School on Long Island, the University of Vermont's men's ice hockey team, and so many more. All right, well, let's start with the basics of what we know, and the details are still being sort of filled in. Here's what we know over in Wall Township. First of all, you should know that the school board over there, the administration, has pretty much said that the entire investigation, the matter, has been handed over to the police in Monmouth County, and that they, the police, are now conducting the entire investigation. And as such, the school is not saying much to the public at this point. But according to most of the various media outlets, allegedly about half a dozen juniors on the high school football team apparently overpowered and pinned down a sophomore player and at least threatened to sodomize him with a broomstick. It's unclear how serious the assault was with the stick, but those are the basic rumors we're hearing about this hazing situation. Apparently, there's also a video of this attack that was taken on a cell phone. That video has been seen by a few individuals, but again, it's not been released to the general public. The attack allegedly took place in the boys' locker room, which was unsupervised at the time. Now, the upshot was that the Wall football team has had to cancel, forfeit its state semifinal playoff game, and then a few days later, it also canceled its traditional Thanksgiving Day game against its crosstown rival. Now, the parents, of course, are upset, angry, and outraged. Some just want to know how this could ever happen. After all, there are something like 13 coaches on the Wall football team. And why wasn't one of them in the locker room so that this kind of thing couldn't happen? And even more, ironically, I understand that three of the football coaches are local police officers. Look, at least one coach is supposed to be in the locker room to oversee all the kids and to prevent these kind of things from happening. In much the same way, the same kind of thinking that a teacher would never leave their classroom unattended. Other parents don't understand why the school, why don't they just punish the main offenders? Take the half a dozen kids who were juniors, just kick them off the team. But you can allow the rest of the kids on the team who were not involved to keep playing. So is it fair to cancel the rest of the season for all the other players on the team just because a few knuckleheads or jerks? I mean, it's just wrong. Is that fair? Is that the right thing to do? Other parents claim and are angry that the school hasn't been more forthcoming with more details about the hazing. And that's making the situation even worse. The athletic director at Wall has been put on administrative leave, as have all the coaches. In other words, the football season, which they're having a great, great year. As you probably know, if you follow high school football, Wall Township has a great traditional program. It's known for its success. But this year, it's come to a sharp and a very abrupt end. Again, there are all sorts of unanswered questions in this mess. But again, the biggest question for all of us is, why does hazing continue to occur over and over and over again? And again, Wall Township, just the latest victim in a long, long line of hazing situations. And by the way, speaking of hazing, let's not forget all the countless fraternity and drinking deaths that have become an idiotic rite of passage for kids to join a college frat house. And that's just a terrible way to throw away one's young life. So what is the underlying psychology for hazing to happen? And what can we do for once and for all to break the cycle? I want to see if anyone has a solution or theory as to how we can prevent these things from happening in the future. Let's start with the basic reality that hazing incidents are all conscious and deliberate acts. And perhaps that's what makes hazing such a horrible, terrible event. Here's what I feel is my own personal theory. It seems that every generation of high school athletes somehow feels that it's their quote-unquote responsibility to keep the tradition of hazing alive, that somehow this really is a necessary rite of passage. The seniors on the team, you know, they think, or the juniors, the upperclassmen, they say, after all, I was hazed when I was a freshman, and now that I'm an upperclassman or a junior or senior, it's now my quote-unquote duty to haze the incoming kids on the team. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but come on, it's just a prank. What's the big deal? Besides, we don't want to be known as the class in school which chickened out and didn't haze the younger players on the team. Now, friends, I gotta tell you, it's, in my opinion, it's not until at least one senior class, upper, or maybe juniors and seniors, until the older kids on the team, until they have the guts and the courage to speak up and say, no, we are not going to do this to our younger teammates. It's wrong, it's asinine, it's cruel, and quite frankly, it's against the law. Until we finally empower a kid, bunch of kids who are, again, seniors or leaders on that team, that's when this hazing finally comes to an end. It's almost as though we need these kids, these upperclassmen, these leaders on the team, to set a new standard. As in our high school athletes, we are proud that we do not allow or condone any kind of this nonsense to occur here in our school. I mean, I got to tell you, this is very, very troubling. I will tell you, taking the same theory or furthermore, how do we do this? How do we empower our kids to do this? Well, if you're the head coach, and again, this could be football, it could be hockey, baseball, lacrosse, any sport, because it happens in a variety of sports. But if you're the head coach, you go to your seniors right in the beginning of the season. You go to your captains. You go to the leaders on the team. And you hold a very serious closed-door session with them. And you explain to them how serious hazing is. How it doesn't build team unity, but actually does just the opposite. And that it's a serious crime. It harms people's lives. It has a devastating ripple effect on a school and its community. As the coach, you're telling them, and again, you do this in a very, very somber, serious way, because it is a somber and serious issue. You tell them that you're putting the responsibility on these kids to prevent any hazing on the team. If they see or hear anything or hear any rumors, as the seniors, as the leaders, they have to intervene and nip it in the bud right away. You have to remind them that any kind of hazing could end their season immediately. And if they're seniors, that's going to really concern them because, after all, it's their last year, you know, playing sports in school. In other words, do this right at the start of the season. Let them be aware. And then let some peer pressure work its magic along the lines. But again, it's also up to the athletic director to make a presentation each fall to all the athletes and to their parents as well. Again, let's make this a full frontal assault, not just from the coaching staff, but from the AD. Educate the parents. Tell them how serious hazing has become, that it's not to be tolerated, that every complaint will be fully and totally investigated. You, as the leader of the athletic department, have to explain to the moms and dads what hazing is. Either it's physical or verbal or both. It's a form of bullying, which is against the law, and that there are no second chances on this stuff. It's as simple as that. And I will tell you, friends, I was going back and preparing my notes for the show, and some of the stuff I just talked about just now came from my notes from a Sports Edge show I did back on the same subject back in 2009. This is unfortunately keeps happening. And I'm telling you, until we start getting really serious about this, not only as coaches, athletic directors, and as parents, because parents, you know, you're the ones that are supposed to be basically educating your son and daughter about all this stuff when they're at home. And you explain to them that you never, ever want to see them get involved in any kind of, you know, hazing incident. It's as simple as that. Because quite frankly, this is darn serious. And as I said, look how it's blown up the high school football program at Wall Township. And again, not just the high school football team, but the entire school district, the entire community is very, very much up in arms. You know, how could this happen here? Well, it can happen everywhere. And it, unfortunately, it does happen in so many spots and so many schools around not just this area, but around the country. All right, let me take a break. As I said, I want to get your thoughts and comments about all this. I want to answer your questions as best as I can, because this is one of those things that just doesn't seem to ever sink in. We don't seem to learn the lessons. We sort of come away, well, this would never happen where I live. It would never happen in my school district. It would never happen to my kids. Well, obviously, that's just basically too Pollyannish. You're not paying attention. 1-877-337-6666. That's, of course, our number. Let me take a break. When I come back, let's get into this, because we got to do something to stop this, because it's just not right and it's not fair to, you know, to everybody. Simple as that. Okay, back with more after this break. We're talking this morning about what took place at Wall Township High School, this terrible hazing incident with the allegedly taking place with several members of the high school football team. And our focus this morning is to talk about not only the evils of hazing, but how in the heck do we stop this? Maybe today we can find some real solutions as to what we can do to finally get the attention of our teenage kids and get them to understand how wrong this is and how it just basically is a total lose-lose situation for not only them, but for their school, their friends, the entire community. It's just terrible. 877-337-6666. That's our number. Look, as sports parents, we have to accept the fact we live in changing and, quite frankly, dangerous times. I mean, the same way you must talk to your teenager about the perils of drinking and driving a car and the perils of texting on their cell phone when they're driving a car, you must also talk with your son or daughter about the dangers of hazing. This is parenting 101. You have to have that conversation, and quite frankly, not just once, but you got to have it several times to just make sure they get it, they understand it, that when some situation happens in school or, you know, after in a practice situation, something clicks in and says, nah, my mom and dad told me never to get involved in this kind of hazing stuff. And that's you got to make that point. All right, let's take some calls and thoughts about this. Let's start our conversation this morning with Ed Ward over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
And to you as well, Ed.
Well, Rick, I remember, I don't know if you did it when you were a college coach, we considered hazing like the freshmen on our baseball team, they do skits where it didn't involve any bodily harm or whatever. Now it's getting out of control.
Yep.
I got two suggestions for this, and I think this is important. Like, Wall Township used to, I believe, had four policemen on a team or on coaching staff.
Yeah, I think there was three, actually, but yes. Yep.
What each school district should do is put security outside the locker room for every practice, every game. Because I'm sure if you have the fear of a security person or law, okay, this stuff will probably be totally eliminated. And if you hear any type of booing or non-locking, the security person goes in and finds out what's going on. This would eliminate everything. Yeah, it may cost extra money to hire security people and all that stuff. But guess what? If you want to eliminate the problem, you do that on it. The second thing I suggest is, okay, and you got to be tough on this. You make it mandatory for each team, with their parents, no matter whether you have a freshman, JV, or varsity, they have a mandatory meeting with the athletic director. But not only that, the athletic director brings someone from a police department, maybe their hometown, or a county prosecutor, and you go over all the details. This way, everyone covers their rear end. I'm sure if you do those two suggestions, Rick, you won't be talking about hazing anymore. I really believe that.
Well, Ed, I like both ideas, but I like the second one even more because I do think with bringing in a security officer, that's going to bring just an added expense when obviously schools are watching their budgets. But I do believe, and I mentioned, of course, earlier that there should be an absolutely essentially important meeting with the athletic director, with the parents, with the kids at the start of each season. And as you said, bring in somebody of authority like the local police chief, or bring in the local district attorney, and let them basically walk the parents, walk the students through what happens, as you said, when a hazing incident complaint is on the docket. I mean, that might get their attention as well. And Ed, thank
Rick,
you. Go ahead, Ed.
One important.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here, Rick.
Go ahead.
If you have someone with authority and has like a demanding, demonstrative voice, and you know from when we were playing or even as coaches, sometimes you have that demonstrative voice, you'll put the fear in the kid.
Yes.
And I guarantee you, you bring that type of person in, guess what happens? I really feel it gets eliminated, Rick.
I hear you, Ed. And again, my thanks. I got to take some more of the calls.
Have a great day, Rick.
You too. There's nothing wrong with getting the attention of kids who are teenagers in school by, as Ed says, get somebody with a real sense of authority and voice to them, because you want to get their attention. You have to understand that this is serious stuff because, yeah, they could be the ones who are the perpetrators of this crime, or they even could be the victim. So you got to get this point across, and you got to get the kids to understand. And again, you got to get the parents to understand that they're part of this issue as well. They have to basically be there to educate their kids too. Let's move on. Let's go to Coach Tom over in Jersey. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good,
Thanksgiving to you,
and
your family.
You too. So,
I agree with everything Ed said, and I remember when I was coaching, and I thought I took every possible thing, like I mentioned to you last week. I found out afterward, I mean, it was mild stuff, but I found out like 20 years later. I think number one, it's just an ingrained culture, this rite of passage, which is in human things since the American Indian days and, yeah, you know, everything else. I think we can not eliminate it, but knock it down. But again, all these things we're talking about, it'll be just on school grounds. I think it'll happen somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. I think the other side of it is, I think we need to ingrain in the victims, okay, and the people watching that aren't doing anything. That's where I think we can do something, because you rarely ever hear of somebody, you know, the kids like let it happen. It's like, oh, I don't want people to know I'm complaining.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's my rite of passage. This is okay. If they think it's okay, if, you know, like these frats and every place else, if all of a sudden nobody wanted to come out for a certain team, or if nobody wanted to go to this frat, I bet you that stuff would stop. And again, I'm talking, you know, pie in the sky, but I think we have to also deal the other side with, there are too many bystanders that say nothing. Okay. Well, and I think this is what let it happen. Not just the people that perpetrated. Cause let's be honest, you can promise all the punishments, and nobody thinks they're going to get caught. Okay,
yeah.
That's why laws are broken in human nature. Nobody thinks they're going to get caught, and they always think there's a way around it. And if they thought of these things ahead of time, our whole society would be much better.
You know, Tom, you raise an interesting perspective on this. That, and again, punishment is, of course, only after the fact, after the incident has occurred. And again, how do we, as you said, how do we empower the so-called observers, the other people who sit there or stand there and don't do anything to prevent this from happening? This is why, again, to try to set a higher standard and to really train and work with the kids on the various teams, and use the older kids who said if they're seniors, if their season might get canceled, they're the ones who have the greatest to lose in terms of their playing days, to somehow turn this around and say, look, we're going to be the school that really takes pride in the fact that we don't have any of this stuff going on because all of us understand how dangerous and how serious this crime is. That's a real sea change. It's a real, as you said, it's a whole different kind of something that has to be a culture that has to be redesigned. But I do think it has to start. We have to start doing those kind of things, and it starts with working with the coaches, the athletic director, the parents, and again, even this, the local authorities to alert everybody that we're not kidding around. This is going to stop. It's just not going to happen.
I remember one last thing. I remember asking because I used to also work at an athletic field, and I used to see this, what back in the day with the football teams, and I would say some of the kids who I had used to coach, the best athletes, and I'm like, why do you take this and go through with this? I mean, if you just decided you weren't going to play, if this happened, there'd be no team. And it's like, no, you got to go through it. It's on both sides. That's what I'm saying. It's the people who are being hazed also allow it to the point where it's like, if all of a sudden the better young athletes decided, hey, you know what? I'm not taking this no more.
Yeah.
I know it's a chickenish attitude, it sounds like, but it's like, you know what? Then all of a sudden things would stop.
Yeah, I hear you. Coach, thanks again. As always, good
Take
to talk
care.
To you. Have a nice Thanksgiving. And again, friends, we're talking this morning about this tragedy of hazing that took place over at DeWald Township High School. And again, everything is now being investigated by the Monmouth County investigators, the police department. The school's not saying much about it. All we know so far is that the football team had its very successful season shut down. Their semifinal playoff game was canceled. The Thanksgiving Day game was canceled. There's going to be more fallout. There's no question about this. I mean, there's going to be issues in terms of players being going through some sort of punishment. The school is going to have to come around to realize this is a real problem. It's not good. There's no positive upside to this, and that's why we're trying to talk about this morning, try to figure out what we can do to prevent this kind of stuff from happening with other school districts and other kids. It's as simple as that. Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to Jack Smith and over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack.
This is a topic that's never discussed until there's an incident.
And correct.
That's a big problem in education. We know these things exist, but then we wait for them to happen before we do anything about it. All coaches are taught to prevent injuries, to prevent things from happening. That's your first medicine, is to prevent things from happening. Well, this should be taught in the health classes. This should be taught in the phys ed classes. And it should be taught, the consequences should be talked about. And the consequences should be strict, stern, and effective. And, when these things happen, it's something that destroys the whole program. I mean, one of the things I read just recently was that so many athletes think hazing is a team builder. It's your tradition. But you know what?
It's just the opposite.
It's a way of welcoming our new players. Well, you know what? I don't want to be welcomed like that. And I'm going to tell you, I have an analogy. It's the same thing as a parent beating their child and then expecting their child to love them. It doesn't happen. I forget what caller said it, but when you put the fear of God into a kid, you lose the kid. Never teach through fear. I worked with a coach. I coached with a coach that loved teaching through fear. And you know what? Half of your players are gone and the other half are afraid of making mistakes. You know what? I'm a true believer in a happy employee is a productive employee. And if I'm going to scare the crap out of my players, I'm not going to get the production that they need to put in and I'm looking for. I think Ed Ward said it, put a supervisor. Well, I taught for many, many years. I'm not even going to say the number anymore because it's making me feel old. But the point is that during phys ed classes, there's a supervisor in the locker room for every phys ed class. Soon as school ends, there's no supervision in the locker room. The coaches sit in the coach's room that could be in the locker room with their door closed, talking, waiting to get out onto the field or out on the court. You know what? Put a coach in the locker room. You know what? You don't have to, you know, observe and look like you're staring or you're just walk around and say hello to the guys and keep your, you know, keep your distance, but allow them to know that you're there. You know, this incident is, you know, one of the things that I'm a strong believer in, and you know this, and I'm talking with a little passion here because this is something that I taught. I taught this. I taught about alcoholism and being addicted to drugs and bullying. This is an act of bullying, and in some of these hazing incidents, what they're doing is criminal. And the point is that they don't understand it because they're kids. They don't think. They don't think before they act. And I've said that trillions of times, and so have you. I read it in your books. So the point is that we got to get it through to these kids exactly what this is all about and teach it and repeat it. Talk at home, like you said about the parents.
Let me come back to what you said a few minutes ago, which I think is part of breaking this chain, that the fact is that there's an assumption with the kids that this is, and again, these are kids. They don't have any experience in the real world. They've never gone out and experienced what other people know from years of being educated and quite frankly, common sense. But the kids somehow believe or been taught to believe or been led to believe that the fact of the matter is that this is how you bring the team together, by having the kids undergo through some sort of ridiculous or dangerous hazing exercise. That's going to bring the kids and welcome them and make the team stronger and more unified. And again, that's the first, nothing can be farther from the truth. The fact is it ruins that. It totally gets in the way. It makes kids hate upperclassmen. It's so totally wrong in every way possible. But that's still the mentality that a lot of kids believe in. They think this is how you do it, and it's not. That's why I said early on, you got to have the coaches sit down with the upperclassmen of the team leaders, and say, we got to stop this. You cannot allow this. If you hear a rumor that this is going to take place or there's an opportunity for this to take place, you, as an upperclassman, as a team leader, you got to stop in and say, no, this is not going to happen. We're not going to risk losing our team members, lose a season. We're not going to do this. And I hear you, of course. And Jack, let me take a break here, but thank you, as always, for the call. You know, we got to understand, coaches, you should always be there to supervise what's happening in the locker room. I mean, it's just, you would like to think that kids would learn. But again, the same way as I said before, a teacher would never leave their classroom unattended. Same way with the locker room, kids getting ready for practice or after practice. You don't ever let them alone because, quite frankly, back in 2004, it's a long time ago, the Mepham High School football team, they went to an end-of-summer training camp in Pennsylvania, and a terrible hazing incident occurred while they were there. Three freshman players were held down and sodomized with broomsticks. And, of course, the season was abruptly canceled. Families and the kids, they all had to rebuild their lives. The school district was a mess. It was just awful in every way. And the football coaches were blamed for not being more attentive to the kids' activities away from the football field. I mean, this is, empower and educate the kids. So if the coaches aren't there for some reason, some smart kid or kids are going to say, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to jeopardize everything we worked so hard for because somebody, some stupid kid thinks this is going to be the right thing to do to somehow, build team unity. All right, let me take a time out here, take a break. Obviously, we want to continue. I'll take more of your calls and thoughts about this terrible, terrible incident that took place in Wall Township and what we can do to stop this. Because quite frankly, it should be totally preventable. Simple as that. Why can't we stop the madness? And what's the right punishment to be handed out in this case as well? 877-337-6666. Back with your calls right after these messages. Welcome back to the Sports Edge. Before I forget, make sure, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at hashtag Ask Coach Wolf. In fact, many of you know you can get a preview of the upcoming topic on my show when I put out a tweet, usually on Saturday morning. But again, it's hashtag Ask Coach Wolf. My website is AskCoachWolf.com, where you can always reach me there as well. Before we get back to our conversation about what in the world we can do to finally put an end to high school hazing, particularly with our sports teams, I do want to share a little good news with you. I want to take a moment this morning to salute a very loyal and very passionate listener, not just to the Sports Edge, but to pretty much all of WFAN Sports Radio. You may know him as Rob from Lake Success. In reality, Rob is Dr. Rob Fried. He's one of the more accomplished and distinguished long-distance runners in our area. And I just heard this past week that he was honored by the United States Track and Field Association with the Pheidippides Award. Now, the Pheidippides Award is an honor given only to those truly dedicated members of USA Track and Field who are 40 years of age or older and have earned a significant number of running points through their participation in competitive road races over the years. And now USA Track and Field has added Dr. Rob Fried to their very distinguished honor roll. I mean, to me, every so often it's important to salute and to recognize the lifelong achievements of our WFAN listeners. So, Rob, nice going. Stay healthy. And by all means, keep on running. Okay, let's get back to our topic this morning about how to stop hazing. The problem is, it just seems that too many programs just sort of react to the issue once it's already taken place. I'm more interested, and I'm sure you are as well, in trying to prevent these kinds of terrible incidents. We're looking for solutions as to how to stop kids. And yeah, we talk about trying to educate the kids and so on and so forth, but we've been talking about real practical solutions as to what we can do to make that happen, whether it's, you know, again, having the athletic directors sit down with the kids and their parents at the start of the season to talk about how serious this issue is, you know, bringing in perhaps the local police captain or perhaps a local district attorney to walk the kids and the parents through what happens when there's an incident hazing reported and it goes through the criminal process. You got to get the kids to be aware of this. And again, you also want to, I think, bring in the kids who are the seniors, the leaders on the team, and empower them as well to say, look, you guys have worked hard to be in this team and all the effort and practice you've gone through. Are you going to have a couple of knuckleheads jeopardize everything by doing something stupid because they think mistakenly that this is going to bring the team closer together? I mean, this is not just a one-time shot. We have one meeting and that's it. It has to be something where it is basically drummed in to your kids on the team over and over and over again until you get to the point where the kids on the team and the younger kids in the team know this is never going to happen. And that's how I think you break the chain of this repetition. And again, the problem with hazing, and we all know this, the latest victim has been Wall Township High School and its football program, but it can happen everywhere. And that's the concern we all face. Let's get back to our calls at 877-337-6666. Let's go to Ralph in Manhattan. Good morning, Ralph. You're on the Fan.
Well, perhaps, Rick, if the long tradition would stop, the tradition of turning your back on this time and time again is something that goes back as far as the tradition itself goes. And when you have administrators jumping through hoops to keep this thing in-house at all costs, I mean, you're talking about people that risk their jobs just to and they shut up and they don't tell anybody of authority what's going on. You're going to have something that's permeating throughout, you know, the country because it's allowed to by those who can actually put a stop to it, but don't have the courage to do so, I think.
Mm-hmm. But
and when you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Ralph, but how, again, I think you've done a nice job there at sort of presenting the issue. And again, we talked earlier about trying to empower those individuals who stand on the sidelines and don't say or do anything. They don't want to get involved. And we have to empower those kids to say, no, this is your job. You do have to say something and get involved to prevent this.
It takes a lot of guts for somebody to come out, Rick, and go against the grain and open their mouths when most needed. And when I'm, you know, I hearken back to about 42, 3 years ago, we had an initiation process at my high school. Freshmen would have to go through a hazing, and the seniors would be absolutely cruel in what they would do to us. And man, like I said, I told you last week, when you're 14 as opposed to 17 or 18, these guys seem like grown men.
Yes.
And man, it was a frightening ordeal. Yes, back then. Yes. I remember it to this day like it was yesterday. I'm telling you. You know, I do a program down the dial, and I had a couple of experts on about this situation. And, you know, we came up with a lot of solutions and a lot of good ways to go about it, but it takes courage on someone that really can make a difference to stand up. And then also, you know, the police have to get involved. The authorities have to get involved. You have to have authority figures, near or about these locker rooms. So, these things don't take place, because you have five or six bad apples for the most part. They should be ousted. And no season should be canceled, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is where it gets dicey, because, as I said, and I hear what you're saying, Ralph. I mean, what we don't want to overlook in any of this are the kids, the actual victims themselves. As you said, you know, you remember from 40 years ago when you were a kid going through this process, the tradition of the upperclassmen hazing the kids in the team. If your son or daughter happens to be the unlucky victim to all this, I mean, you, as a parent, I can't even imagine your rage and fury. How could this take place?
It hits home when it comes to your own house.
Yeah,
you know, when you hear about it, you know, you look at it with a jaundiced eye and you say, well, they're kids being kids or something like that. But here's my last point, Rick, and you tell me if you agree, and it's a horrendous point in of itself. It's going to take, now, that hazing you talked about years ago when, you know, there was sodomy involved and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these unfortunate souls are going to end up either injured badly or dead somewhere. And then it's like an accident. When somebody gets killed on a curb somewhere, then they fix the highway. It's going to be the same ordeal. If someone gets killed, God forbid, and then they're going to do something about it. And then at that point, it's going to be too late.
Well, but we always see it happening with college fraternities and making, you know, kids who are pledged to the fraternity go through alcohol testing, and then they get drunk and they choke on their own vomit and die. I mean, this has happened endless times. Can you imagine?
And Rick, you know, high school is such a wonderful. You know, I look back at my high school days, and I love those days. I had great times. I wish I can go back, as they say.
Yeah.
But that one thing, that abhorrent ordeal that I went through, that one thing stands out in my mind. And here I am, 43 years after the fact, I can still see it like it was yesterday, really.
Yeah, it is life scarring. It's as simple as that. And again, we know this happens all over the country, and yet we still can't seem to stop it. Hey, Ralph, thank you for your thoughts there. I appreciate the call. And that's what we're trying to do today. I mean, again, it all sort of builds from the outrage of the youngster who was victimized, who's the one that's pinned down and basically goes through the hazing. Why? Why do we make all this happen? And we're trying to think of ways to prevent this. I still think, because of the fact, and again, for some of those who remember from your social psychology days from some years ago, there were when in Queens, when Kitty Genovese was attacked and killed, and there were all sorts of onlookers from apartment houses who heard her screams for help and so on and so forth, and nobody did anything. And that's where I become the classic cases in psychology. Like, how is it possible that nobody would even step up to intervene or call for help or call for the police? Nobody did anything. This poor woman died. Same thing here. If you're a kid and your kid is watching all this on the, you know, this take place, you know, yes, they're going to say, well, if I say anything, I may end up getting hazed as well. But that's where we want to basically get enough kids to understand, no, no, we're not going to allow this. And that's why I say you have to sort of empower the kids to have the courage, and that's what it basically takes, to talk to the upperclassmen, to you know, get on their cell phone, to get the coaches in, or get the police in. But somebody has to do the right thing. And it's hard, and it's dangerous, and it's tough. And I understand all those things, but the fact of the matter is, this is what we're talking about. And as Ralph just said, you know, and he was a victim of hazing 43 years ago, and he still recalls it like it happened yesterday. I just think the time has come that we're going to have to take a stand and make a put together a very, very strong, proactive movement in every high school in the country where they have particularly have sports programs and say, look, this is just stupid and it's wrongful and it's dangerous and it's a crime. We're going to have to do something to basically get these kids to understand just how wrong this is. Again, I mean, we too often we hear, well, we're just going to basically punish these kids by just canceling the season. I mean, I know I mentioned before about in the winter of 2000, the University of Vermont, their men's ice hockey team, was involved in a hazing event early in the year, and they victimized the youngest players on the team. Again, this is college. But when the university administration heard about this hazing, well, they just said, that's it. We're going to cancel the entire season. And that's just what they did. And that's Division I ice hockey. But is that – so that's the reaction. But is that the right thing? What do they do afterwards to make sure it doesn't happen again? That's my concern here, and that should be your concern as well. And again, it starts with parents talking to their kids about how wrong this is and educate them and remind them over and over again. And if you're a coach, boy, oh boy, that's lesson number one when you meet with your kids at the start of the season. As I said, bring in the AD, bring in the police chief, bring in people to talk about just how wrong this is and how many things can go sideways and in the wrong direction when it comes to a hazing incident. It's got to be stopped. It's got to be prevented. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks, as always, to Ed Arzuman. Have a happy Turkey Day. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.